God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and a wind moved across it. And he put the light in the sky, and he called it day. And that was the first day. The second day, God put the sky above us, what we know as our atmosphere, so that it could produce life. The third day, he spread the waters and brought forth dry land. The fourth day, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. He then put the birds and the animals. And the sixth day, he made man. Now, I think we take a lot of this for granted. I think as you sit here today, we can all say, well, we believe that. We trust that. But do we really live that way? You see, because it was just in the second chapter, we learn that God made man different. When he created all the other things, he spoke it. He just spoke it, and it was there. But with man, he took some dust of the ground, and from that dust he formed Adam. And he breathed into Adam his spirit. And from Adam, he took his rib, and he made Eve his helpmate. And we are told that God said, let us make man in our image. And he did, male and female. He made them in his image. But then problems arose. They had life made. Everything was perfect. God walked with them. He talked with them. He interacted with them. And it was wonderful from what we've been told. But sin entered in. Satan tempted, he deceived Eve, and she took of the fruit. She offered it to Adam, and Adam didn't ask any questions, he just took it. And that's where the trouble started. You see, when we think of the sin that started this whole mess, we think that it was this fruit that they ate. But that wasn't the sin. Their sin was the fact that they decided to do things the way they wanted to. They disobeyed God. God gave them a simple command. They decided they wanted to do it differently. And that's how sin entered the world. I think that in looking at the way the world operates today, you know, we have a certain respect possibly for God. You know, I remember there was a time when I was a kid that there could be graffiti and stuff all over the place, but the church was never touched. And I don't think it was because they necessarily had any respect for the building or something, but it was just in case. Just in case. But when we think of sin, what do we think of? We go to Galatians and we see all the things that he talks about there and the fruits of the Spirit and the evil things that we get into, that people get into. And we look around and we say, well, I don't do any of those things. I'm a good person. How important is it that God is part of my life? Not realizing that what sin is a decision to disobey God. And we are told in the New Testament that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are also told that Jesus was tempted as one of us. And as I listen to that, I say, how could that be? Jesus lived a perfect life. He had to be strong. He didn't engage in those activities that tempt me and haunt me. But as we look at it from the original where Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted to disobey God. He was tempted to do things he wanted to do the way he wanted to do it. He was tempted to say, I have this. I'm going to do it my way. And I don't like that. Because you know what? When I look in the mirror, that makes me a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to look at you guys, because your sins are really obvious. And I can look and I can say, it's okay, because I'm a pretty good guy. I run my business honestly. I'm faithful to my wife. I've tried to raise my kids well. I obey most of the laws. I pay all my taxes. I think. So I'm a good person. I'm really comfortable with that beam in my eye. It's easy for me to see the speck. But as I get older, I find my eyesight gets poorer. My eyesight gets really bad. It's gotten bad. That's why I have these things. I don't wear them, but I have them. So what do I do with my sin? And I see as I look at the earth, as I look at the world today, there is so much confusion going on. We don't know what gender we are. We don't know who we're supposed to love. We don't know. We don't even know what a joke is anymore. We've all fallen into this trap, and we don't understand who we are and what is our purpose. I like this passage that Dave read from Paul, because the answer really is simple. It's so simple, in fact, that it's extremely difficult. Because like Naaman, who wanted something marvelous to do to cure himself of his leprosy, it was such a simple thing to do. And it's really simple for me to find my place, to find my purpose. And it's hard to understand because, you know, we've become so smart. Genesis 1, where God spoke and the earth was created, all those things were created by His Word. You know, and we have scientists now that create artificial intelligence. They got robots that do things. They look human. I don't even know if they act human. I've never seen them. We got cars that drive themselves. And we get caught up in all the technology and all this great ideas and great purpose. And we lose sight of the fact that all of this was created by a single word. And sometimes it's hard to fathom how complex the world is, because there's so many things that make it simple. You can go home today and you can stick a ham in an oven, and because of the way it changes the molecular structure, it can heat it up really fast and cook it. That's really cool. We've discovered ways to manipulate the things that God made. But if you've ever looked, or if you've ever read about the universe, the vast universe that's out there, it's amazing, because we don't know where it ends. There's 80% of it. We don't even know what it is. But that's not all, because we've broken down the atom. And there's things called quarks and neutrinos. Anybody know what a quark is? Nope, we got one in the back that says he knows what a quark is. We can't even see them, but we know they exist. They have a name. What is all this? How does this play into our lives? What is my purpose? The human condition is we want to do things our way. We want to be led by our physical bodies. We want to be led by our own ideas. And we want to take God out of the equation. We want to fight this spiritual nature that He has given us, that He has put in us, that He has breathed in us. The spiritual nature that makes us able to create. We are like God. We can create. Not from nothing, but we can create. In John chapter 15, verse 16, he is speaking there, and he says that we have been chosen. God has chosen us. I didn't pick God. I didn't go looking for God. God chose me. He picked me. What do I do with that? Do I ignore it? But we have been chosen. What do we do with that? In Deuteronomy, as God's people are about to set out across the Sinai plain on their way to the Promised Land, you know, God talks to them. And He says, blessings will come upon you. I will feed you. I will protect you. There will be countries or cities or civilizations that I move out of the way and provide you a place to live and to exist and to be. That sounds wonderful. But guess what? It came with a caveat. Because further down in chapter 28, He says, but do not turn to the right. That's for you Republicans. And do not turn to the left. That's for you Democrats. But walk in my ways, and these blessings I will give you. These blessings I will just give you. You don't have to work for them. But you do have to do one thing. You have to walk in my ways. These things don't just come to us because He provides them. He makes them available. But I must walk in His way. I must look in the mirror and see that Jim, Oliver, I'm a sinner. What do I do with that? You know, most of my life is, we look at our lives, we say, well, things are pretty mundane. Things are pretty ordinary. Do I walk with God in that part of my life? Am I only walking with God when I come here and show up to church on Sunday morning and I interact with you guys? You say, well, look at Jim. He's dressed funny today or whatever. But when I leave this place, do I walk with God in all parts of my life? Do I go with Him? Do I include Him? Am I conscious of the spiritual part of my life that God has put there and wants me to use? Because you see, the purpose is in the mundane things of my life. When Jesus took those three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and God showed them how magnificent and what Jesus was. And we want that mountaintop experience every day, but it doesn't exist. We're lucky if we get it once in a while. The rest of our life is the mundane. And do we take God with us in that? Do I think that the things that happen to me today, is God putting them in front of me to teach me? Is He bending me? Is He molding me? Is He affecting my life by these events? And if He is, how do I react to them? What do I do? You know, there's certain parts of my job I don't like. It makes me crazy. What's God trying to tell me with that? What's God trying to show me? What's He trying to do to Jim with these events, with these things? Sometimes we get our lives upside down. We get our lives turned into a mess. We don't know how to get out of them. Sometimes we can't figure out how we got into them, and we can't figure out how to get out of them. But what is our purpose? Paul, in this passage that Dave read, said that in all his speaking, in all his doing, Paul had one point. He had one primary concern. That was to preach Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, because way back at the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God could have said, this didn't work. It's gone. He could have destroyed it all. Why didn't He? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I think in my heart, what God said was, you know what? I can make it even better. I can make it better. Because we have this choice now. And I can show my creation how it is to live. I can show my creation how it is to be perfect. I can save him from himself. And I can do it by sending my son to this earth to sanctify my creation, to make it even better. So, how do we do that? How do we practice living and walking with God? How do we do that? You know, faith is sometimes a difficult thing. In the high school class this morning, we talked about, because Paul talks about this spiritual body and how We live in this tent. He calls it a tent. I'm assuming it's because Paul was a tent maker. So he says, we live in this tent. God put us in this tent. And we long for the day when this tent is gone so we can return back to our Creator. And we talked about having faith. And what do we have faith in? What do we put our trust in? And sometimes it's hard to have that comprehension. So what we talked about was the fact that, you know, when you're a teenager, you live at home. Now, how much trouble can you get in when you live at home? But you have your parents there constantly saying, "Dup, you shouldn't have done that. Don't do this. If you do this, this could happen." You know, they're there. They're watching. They're over you. But now, in a couple years, they're going to go to college. And I remember, you know, you go to college, and that's the first year of freshman year is a big thing for kids, because all of a sudden it's like, I don't have to go to school. I mean, I'm at school, but if I don't want to go to school, I don't have to go to school. I can hang out with who I want. I can put my homework off till later. I got all these things I can do myself. So what happens is you have to decide, were my parents right? Was the training my parents gave me, was it correct? And if you believe it was, you live that way when you're away from them. Now, sometimes if you're like most teenagers, well, I shouldn't say that. I know I did. You test that. You test it, see if your parents were really right, if they really knew what they were talking about, or if they were crazy. But that's what God has done. He, you know, by nature, our faith must be tested and tried. You know, the real test isn't if we find it difficult to trust God, because I trust God. I trust God. But the test comes if we see that God's character is proven to be trustworthy in our own minds. And it's in my mind, because that's where it takes place. Paul talks about in Romans how this fight between his spiritual nature and his physical nature. And in the middle of that is his mind. And that's what we have. And we have to choose. We have to decide. We have to determine each day, how are we going to walk? Are we going to walk by the Spirit? Or are we going to walk by the flesh? Are the decisions I make going to be spiritual decisions? Or are they going to be physical decisions? And we know, I know, because I've chased the spiritual and the physical. And then when I chase the physical things down, when I obey my physical wills, my desires, I get myself in trouble. I find myself in bad places. In Micah 6, this is a great passage because he tells us what God expects of us. Verse 8, he says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? He requires that you seek justice." Seek justice. "And to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Here we have that word walk again. It requires me to do something. I can't, God's not just going to go, I have to walk with him. And as we seek justice, justice involves mercy. And how many of us are quick to give mercy? How many of us are slow to give mercy? And to be kind. Kindness is tough. Kindness can be tough. Because there's so much stupidity in the world. It's hard to be kind to somebody that's to stupidity. How many of you have trouble with your computers? It's hard to be kind when you get on the phone and say, "Why doesn't this work? It worked yesterday." Will probably sees it. People disparage the guy that programmed it. How dumb is that? It's hard to be kind because we expect things to just go so smoothly. But anytime we deal with people, when we deal with our children, when we deal with our neighbors, when we deal with our parents, there's so many things that are outside of our control. There's so many things that are outside of my ability to have an effect. But God has said if we seek Him, if we trust Him, if we walk with Him, He will take those care of those things for us. Why is it we only pray for our children when they're struggling? Okay, a few thoughts from that passage in the chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, as Donald Trump would say. A few thoughts from this. Because I think this is a key to us. This is a key to my walk. This is a key to my understanding of what God has in mind for me in my life. Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of young people today that have no idea of their importance or their significance. And I'm here to tell you that God created each one of you specially and specific. And He has a purpose for you. Now, does He write it on there so when you go in the bathroom in the morning, it's written on the mirror, this is what I want you to do today? No. But He wants you to walk with Him. And He's going to open doors if you walk with Him. He's going to show you things you never thought you could see if you walk with Him. Because God's kingdom is not made up of extraordinary people. God's world, our world, is made up of ordinary people. And He does extraordinary things with us if we will trust Him and walk with Him. But that requires effort on my part. I have to seek out those things. And sometimes I'm in a hurry and He puts something in front of me and I have to decide, okay, God, are You trying to bend me here? Are You trying to make me different here? What do I do with that? There's a purpose. There is a reason. And it has to do with this fight between the spiritual gym, the spirit that God breathed within me, and my physical body. Because there's things I think I want to accomplish. There's things I think I want to do. There's things I believe that I can fix. But you know what? I can't do any of it. I can't do any of it unless He walks with me. Because I make messes of things. I mess them up and I turn them upside down. So what did Paul in this passage talk about? He talked about how his speech and his proclamation, he didn't come with powerful words. He didn't come with great insights that nobody thought before. In fact, he says sometimes it's confusing because we're so smart, we think we're so smart, we don't understand how simple it really is. But he chose to only speak of Christ and Him crucified. And do I carry that blessing with me that I am forgiven because Jesus carried the burden of my sin? And I want to, you know, folks, as I look in the mirror, I am a sinner. Because I choose to disobey God and His directive for me. I don't do anything bad to get arrested for. I don't do anything bad to get a ticket for. But I am a sinner because I choose to ignore God's direction for my life too often. And I want to point out, too, that where He indicates that we are chosen. God chose me. And that has to be an amazing thing if you think about it, to be chosen by God. But when God chooses us, when God chooses me, it's not always going to be an easy road. Because God sees where my weaknesses are. God sees where I need to be improved. God sees where I need to be changed. And guess what? Change hurts. Being improved hurts. So who would want that? Who would want that challenge? And again, I think, you know, he talks about knowing, having spiritual insight, having the mind of Christ. How many of you like a challenge? You like challenges? Does it get you excited? Does it get you energized? Do you run head into it, or do you say, whoa? God bless you if you like challenges, because that's what living is. It's a challenge. There's no easy method to get through this. I know when you're young and you're a kid, at least I shouldn't say that. I know when I was young, I thought the world was mine. There was nothing I couldn't do. And I knew exactly what I was going to do. I'm not doing it now. But I knew. I knew. I had confidence. I had hope. But God has bent me. God has challenged me. God has forced me to live differently. God has made me more conscious of the spiritual gym. And as I get older, I realize how much time I wasted when I was younger because I did not focus on this and I made too many errors. I made too many side trips. But I thank God that He was patient. I thank God that He was still here when I returned. I thank God that He was mindful of what Jim's journey was. And even though I've made mistakes, and even though I've caused problems, I know that God has forgiven me, and because of that I have peace. And that's what we need in our lives. We need God in our lives. We need Jesus showing us how we are to be. He helps us get out of our problems. And it doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter. I don't care how serious they are. But God also gives us the church. He gives us fellow brothers and sisters that we can bear one another's burdens, that we can see the strength that comes from a family, that we can see the benefit of having the encouragement of each other, that we can see the bonus of having someone that says, hey, you're on the wrong track. You need to turn. God has given us all that. I just pray that as we leave this place, that our desire is to grow spiritually stronger, to exercise that part of us, to look beside us and see God walking with us, to put Him in all our decisions and all the things that we do. And when challenges come, bring Him in. When troubles come, rely upon Him, because God chose us. If we can pray for you, if we can rejoice in anything, if we can do anything to strengthen you and guide you towards Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if you come down while we sing the song that's been chosen, you will be helped.